Bismarck being pressured from behind by Justin Smith. They've got him. Justin Smith sacks him inside the 10.
Hi, this is Justin Smith. You're listening to 49ers Radio, the official podcast of the San Francisco 49ers.
Good morning, good afternoon, good night. Whenever you're listening to this, it's another 49ers Radio podcast, and I'm sounding like a 1950s announcer, but my name is Taylor Price, the senior reporter for your San Francisco 49ers, and I have two other Sun Devils in my office right now. We have 49ers.com associate digital editor Andrew Pentis. What's up, Andrew?
Happy to be back.
Welcome back. You are always welcome for the podcast. And we have a third Sun Devil, and by no means is this a biased network. He just happened to be the most talented and ready-to-go applicant this year in our internship process. We have Tyler Emmerich making his podcast debut. What's up, Tyler? How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's not a coincidence we're all Sun Devils. We just produce the best.
Well, yeah, that is what's going on right now. Digital media with ASU is up and going. So let's talk about our first experience at Levi's Stadium, watching the 49ers play football. We've been there for groundbreaking, ribbon cutting, soccer games, practices. We've seen a lot of stuff, but this time it was different. It was game day. It was an opportunity for us to watch the 49ers play on the field. And before we get into what happened on the field, walk me through the experience of covering a game at Levi's Stadium. And I will start with Andrew, who is our 49ers.com Levi Stadium authority.
Yeah, for that game, for those of you who don't know, we're all sitting up in the press box. So we had that bird's eye view of Levi Stadium for the first game on Sunday versus the Broncos. And I think it went seamlessly from that perspective. There were 68,426 fans in the stands. If you saw empty seats at times, I think it was because 49ers fans were exploring their new home, as you would expect. The first chance that they got to be in the building watching their team, they probably wanted to watch them from a few different angles. So that seemed to go well. And then the other thing that comes to mind is we got to unveil the new home team locker room inside Levi's Stadium. We put a photo gallery on 49ers.com. Our team photographer, Terrell Lloyd, got some great access and posted some great images. So check that out if you haven't seen it.
Walnut wood,
exactly. 10-foot tall lockers that these players are using. It's a big space, and you guys saw it post-game. What did you guys think of that space?
Well, Tyler hasn't been to Candlestick Park, so I can speak for the comparison aspect of it. Walking around the locker room at Candlestick felt like walking into a phone booth and trying to talk to 20 people at the same time. And now we have open space. It's more inviting. You can bounce around from interview scrum to interview scrum, and you can get a lot of different access to players. Candlestick Park, I loved it. I grew up going to those games, and I still miss it. I have a little, you know, soft spot in my heart for Candlestick Park, but for a media person, for a journalist, digital media guy, going into the locker room and having that easy access was a great thing. And I know, Tyler, this was your first NFL game covering, so walk us through that experience of the media aspect of that game.
It was something to take in, all the sights and sounds, and just walking around and seeing the fans' reactions, their faces, their expressions, to just seeing the new stadium was really cool. Obviously, I haven't been here that long, so I haven't really got to see the progressions, but just to see everything come together and have something go that well and see the fans love their new home was really cool.
All that said, the 49ers lost 34-0, so we can't lose sight of the football aspect of the game. The Broncos looked sharp. They were moving the ball down the field. Peyton Manning was Peyton Manning. He was hitting his receivers. He threw a touchdown, and the 49ers didn't play their best game, and they'll tell you afterwards, we didn't get into a rhythm, we didn't establish the line of scrimmage and protect the quarterback and make plays on the defensive side of the ball. So, back to work, as Jim Harbaugh said. They're going back to the drawing board, and one thing you really got to stress is that you really haven't seen the full roster. You haven't seen the Patrick Willises, you haven't seen the Michael Crabtrees. These high-end, top-level players really haven't competed yet in the preseason. Now, if you hear Frank Gore talk about it, Frank Gore says You know, we're not worrying just yet. We're having great practices. When the 49ers are in their own backyard, they can control the tempo. There's no unnecessary contact or tackling or any of those things that you don't want to subject your players to injury. The 49ers are having great practices. They all feel really good about what's happening. So on the field, 34-0, I've been hearing about it. I go to the gym, I'm wearing my Niners gear, and people are saying, what happened in the game? And I have to say, you know, it's preseason, and you don't want to just down credit it and put it to the side. But, you know, Andrew, I'm sure you've been hearing about it too. I mean, it's the preseason, and you want to win every game, you want to do well, but sometimes not having a major injury, that is the biggest victory of all.
Absolutely. I think Carlos Hyde, the rookie, said it best. The veterans have sort of been telling him, this is the preseason, so don't worry necessarily about the results. Another post-game quote that sticks out in my mind was Jim Harbaugh saying, we need to stop experimenting with players. And as you said, the bigger names will start to play more. I look at it's a shutout, so that looks worse than it probably is. You look at the four opportunities that the 49ers had to score points in the game. Two Phil Dawson field goals, uncharacteristically missed both to the right. He said yesterday on Tuesday that he thought the win was going that way. He aimed right and the ball went right. So that's something that a new stadium will have an effect on the way he's kicking the ball, and he's going to use this preseason time to learn from those two misses. The other two spots where the 49ers could have scored, that long pass from Kaepernick, beautiful ball to Lloyd, just a foot or two too much, and that maybe that's something that Kaepernick will address playing in a new stadium, whether the air is different than it was at Candlestick. And then that fourth opportunity, we saw, I know Taylor, you're already down on the field, with less than a minute left, McLeod, Bethel Thompson leading the little drive, we were getting close to some points. So I think if we had to put some points on the board, it wouldn't look quite as bad as it does 34-0. But this is the preseason, so we take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah, and I know people are out there saying that Julius Thomas had the first touchdown in Levi's Stadium and the Broncos scored the first points. I don't think we count exhibition games as the official first of a stadium. So I know you might want to have a trivia question, but I just want to put a little side note there that the real first will take place September 14th on Sunday Night Football against the Bears, the Chicago Bears, coming into town. So let's just wait. Let's hold off and not just crown the achievements of the Denver Broncos just yet. Good for them. Great game. We'll see them in the regular season at their place. So you don't want to show too much against a team you're going to face in the regular season. That's just another aspect of this thing. So we've made our points about the game. It was, you know, it was what it was, and we move on. The San Diego Chargers coming into town this week. Another opportunity to get some points at Levi's Stadium. And I talked about it with Marcus Martin, the rookie center, second-round draft pick, I should say, out of USC. I asked him, is it something that's being talked about right now about the offensive linemen, the guys who are mauling up front and you haven't scored a touchdown yet? Is that a point of pride right now? And he said, yes, it is. So the no touchdowns, the 3 points in two games, believe me, it's being talked about in these meeting rooms by these players. They are focused. They want to get a good result. You know, wins are important. Like we said, the injuries are very important in these games. You don't want to have a major injury. These players are battling for jobs. They want to get on the second team unit. They want to play on the kickoff, the punt coverage. This game against the Chargers is known as, the third game is known as the dress rehearsal. So we have a lot to talk about. Phillip Rivers, the Chargers, a playoff team. It's going to be a good game. I mean, another opportunity to see how long the starters play. Kaepernick, last year in the third preseason game, played just one quarter. Didn't play into the first half. Some of the defensive guys, some of the offensive linemen played into the first half, gave Colt McCoy a chance to play behind the first team offensive line. So maybe we'll see that again with Blaine Gabbert. But as you look at this game, Tyler, this is your second chance to cover the Niners. It's a game against an AFC West opponent. Going to see the Chargers in the regular season as well. So tell me, what are you most excited about? What do you think is going to be the most interesting aspect of this game? And putting you on the spot right now, because I know I'm just freestyling this question to you, but what do you think about this Chargers game coming up? What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to see the offense and the defense get into sort of a rhythm. You know, they've only played one or two series each of the first two games, haven't gotten to getting any sorts of rhythm. So it'll be nice to see them be out there for a longer period of time, get a sustained drive, and finish something off. That'll be a big point to key in on. If they've been able to move the ball down the field, just not been able to punch it in, and that's something that obviously Cap's talked about a lot and they'll look to accomplish this week.
Break a sweat. What about you, Andrew? What do you want to see this week?
I was curious, based on playing time, you alluded to it. Jim Harbaugh talked about it a little bit. He said Patrick Willis is working through something, could play. What was your sense of how much Cap could play based on Harbaugh's comments?
Well, I think the real question right now is the number two quarterback. Blaine Gabbert has had some moments where he'd like to have some throws back. And the first couple weeks of training camp, I was really impressed with Gabbert. I thought he was decisive. He had a big arm. He was fitting the ball in some tight windows. And then the preseason games have happened, and he hasn't really had those moments that we saw in the first parts of training camp. I know that the player is there. We just have to sort of see it manifest itself in a game. So I want to see Gabbert more than Kaepernick. We know Kaepernick can run. And the interesting thing was we found out that he had a foot injury last year and still had the second most rushing yards in a single season by a 49ers quarterback. Cap is good to go. I'd like to see him maybe get a touchdown, do a little kiss the bicep, and peace out. Get out of there and let Gabbert and Josh Johnson duel it out for that number two quarterback spot. So, San Diego, coming into town, big opportunity, preseason game, lots to look forward to in that one. Now let's turn to some Twitter questions. We have the hashtag 49ers Radio. You can check us out on iTunes. I got to mention that. You got to look for 49ers Radio on iTunes because that's how everybody in the world gets their podcasts. Myself included. So Jason Keeling has our first question. Taylor, do you see this team not meeting its expectations due to the slow start in the preseason? Well, Jason, if you listen to the first half of the show, I think you have an idea of how we feel about this team. We're not subjecting ourselves to injuries. We're working. We're trying to get better. And we're not really putting everything out on the table just yet. So I don't think this team is losing any expectations. I think it's still very much a Super Bowl contender. Jim Harbaugh has led this team to 3 straight NFC title championship appearances, 2 division titles in the 3 years, and they want to get back as the number one seed. They want to put that flag in the ground and be that top team in the NFC. So preseason games are important. We want to have some success and have a feel good game, but no, I don't see the guys hanging their heads. Frank Gore said it all. Spirits are pretty high about what's going on the practice fields. How do you see it, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm on board with you. I guess I would change the question. Take the preseason results out of it. And if you're just asking about the expectations of the 2014 team, will it be hard to get to a 4th straight title game? Absolutely. Will it be hard for the 49ers to be a top 5 defense again? Absolutely. I think that's where the question is. Losing Glenn Dorsey for the season, tore his bicep, and will be back for 2 more seasons. He signed a contract extension on Tuesday, but won't play this season, and that's a big loss. We don't know yet how long Navarro Bowman will be out. We get to see him occasionally around here, and he's working hard rehabbing, but that's another question mark. So I think that's the question, is whether the defense can match what we expect of the offense based on all of its new weapons.
There you have it. So next question is from Marco. How does Kaepernick feel going into the season with about the ups and downs of the team, and how can I hang out with Taylor Price? Marco, I'll answer the second part, and I'll pass this one over to the other guys. How can we hang out if you come to Levi's Stadium on Sunday? Send me a tweet. I will come over there and give you a high five, Marco. I appreciate you checking out our tweets and listening to our podcast. So hangout time is at Levi's Stadium this Sunday for another preseason game. But Kaepernick, what did he say about the ups and downs of the preseason? Tyler, you touched on it earlier. Establish the rhythm. That was what Kaepernick wants to see from this unit. And if he plays the whole first quarter, he might see number 7 doing his thing out there.
I mean, like everyone, he's taken the results with a grain of salt. With fans and the players both, it's hard to put that competitiveness aside in the preseason. That's what you got to do, and that's what he's done the first 2 weeks. And I think with the struggling offense, we're not being able to get into the end zone these last 2 weeks, he'll maybe turn it up a notch this week with the more playing time.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think the opportunity is there, and if it was his first year, if he was a rookie, if there was a quarterback competition, you would want to see unproven guys prove themselves in the preseason. And what Andrew said last week, we know that he's not due for a breakout year because he's already broken out. So we're good with Kaepernick. We think he's confident. He has the intangibles and the leadership and the physical tools, healthy, arm strong. Everything's good there with Cap. So, Marco, don't sweat it. Kaepernick's good to go, all right? Next question is from Trey Niner. Trey Niner with this one. Any good pranks happen in the 49ers locker room besides dunk cam? Trey, no. There's no pranks in the 49ers locker room. I might pull some pranks on these guys across the table from me, but no, we don't have that type of locker room. These guys are professionals. They come to work with a purpose, and there's not even a rookie talent show. There's none of that stuff that you see on Hard Knocks or that you see on social media where players are getting their hair dyed or their eyebrows shaved. I have not seen any of that. And I do have one story. This predates Jim Harbaugh. This was my favorite prank. And I won't say any names because...
Come on, give us
I'll tell you guys. I'll tell you guys offline, but I'll save the integrity of that player. One of our veterans emptied out, with the help of some other people, emptied out a player's locker. And this was a long time ago when I was really young and early in my 49ers career. So this predates Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh doesn't stand for this type of stuff. But back in the day, a player had his locker cleaned out. He shows up for work and thinks he's been cut. Wow. Now, was he? No, yeah. No, they told him right afterwards that, hey, man, it was just so-and-so did that to you just for fun. So that was as comical and as lighthearted of a prank that you can have. It reminded me of that scene in Major League. Remember that one with Charlie Sheen and Roger Dorn puts the red tag in the locker, and if you get the red tag, you have to go see the manager. That's one of my favorite movies. I digress. So, I know you guys covered baseball for MLB.com before you made your way here with the Niners. Tyler, you're wearing an MLB polo shirt right now. Got to get you some more Niner swag. How about any good sports pranks? Some that are PG-13 for the podcast audience.
Before we get to baseball, and I'll lean on Tyler for that since he's more recently covered baseball. This did not take place in the locker room, but I think C.J. Spielman had his car covered in plastic wrapper. I think he had some sort of tete-a-tete with the training staff. So I don't know the full story behind that. If either of you guys know that story.
Don't know that one. Can't have too many tete-a-tetes.
You can't. One's probably enough.
One's enough.
So that didn't take place in the locker room. My other thought...
No kerfuffles after that.
My other thought was... I haven't seen the basketball hoop in the locker room recently. Is it there? Am I missing it?
No, it got ripped down, I believe, the last day of minicamp. Quentin Patton just tore the thing down like Shaquille O'Neal in the late 90s, and they haven't replaced it. And I don't think there's a place for it with the walnut wood locker room. It's just too high-end for a Nerf basketball hoop. So I know Craig Dahl, the commissioner of the Locker Room Basketball League, not that it's a league, but... He's in charge of that thing. I have to revisit that with Craig. I'm sure that there's some plans of some sort to have some basketball in the mix. So, Tyler, you are the baseball guy over here with the baseball beat background. A lot of B's there. I know those MLB players, they wear the funny backpacks. They have costume days. Just give us one anecdote from your prank moments that you've seen in professional sports.
There's quite a few of them, probably not so much that I can share, but this one's pretty funny. I'll probably leave the name out. But we had a rookie come up in September a couple years ago. He was doing his first interview, and a veteran switched out his water bottle and put in mouthwash. So while he was talking to us, he took his swig in the middle of a question, just spits everything out at all the reporters. I'm sure the players like that part of it too. Yeah. That was a good prank on the rookie.
What's a guy got to do to get some names from you two? Keep telling all these great stories and no names.
That's how we stay in our respective jobs. We don't. A good reporter never tells. And you divulge all your sources.
Okay.
That's the key there. All right, so we have one more from Big E at 49EJ. Here's a good question for you guys, and let me get real close to the screen to read it. Will they try more wide receiver, running back, tight end screen passes, and swing passes to running backs to draw in the defense, then beat over top Bruce hyphen Lloyd? I know what you're getting at, Big E. Are we going to run more screen passes? And there's a good opportunity to do that with Daniel Kilgore at center. Pretty athletic for a big man. And going back to the dunk cam, we saw Kilgore doing some wicked windmills in that locker room. He can get up for a big guy. So that all lends itself to getting down the field and doing some screen plays. I know that defenses like to stack the box against Frank Gore. Will they be able to do that now with so many wide receivers at our disposal? It just opens up a lot of opportunity to do some things in the screen game when your center is young and athletic. And no disrespect to Jonathan Goodwin, he was a trusted agent, a physical guy, a leader, a quarterback on that offensive line. Let's see what Kilgore can do. I mean, by all accounts, he seems to be seizing that center job. And if you have a more athletic center, you have Joe Looney getting in the mix, getting the praise from Jim Harbaugh this week, you might have opportunities to do that. And I think this all goes back to the wide receivers. If you don't have to be so much of a power run-oriented team, maybe you have more opportunities to diversify. And, they're not showing us that at practice. Believe me, there's no need to put everything out there for the media to see. Once they start getting ready for the game plans and having those practices leading up to the regular season, then there might be some time to work on some of those screenplays. So, 49EJ, I think we're going to see some screenplays. I don't know if it's going to be all-time screenplays for the rest of the season, but, if we saw the mic'd up in Baltimore, you remember that Jim Harbaugh commented that was one of our best screenplays in a long time in that miking. So, They're mixing them in there. Now it's just a matter of seeing what type of offense we're going to have. Is it the same power running attack that we've seen, or is it a little bit more of a spread it out, get the ball into the playmakers on the outside?
Yeah, I'm right with you, Taylor. I would just add that, really it will depend on how defenses play Colin Kaepernick. If they're going to sit back and let him pick them apart, then you're not going to see too many screen passes. But if they're going to challenge him in the pocket and try and collapse the pocket, then you will see, I think, Greg Roman go to those shorter screen passes that take advantage of blitzes. I think we can all agree that the 49ers have the weapons on offense to have a great screen game. They have the athletic offensive linemen, as you mentioned, and they have a lot of schemers on the offensive side of the ball in terms of coaches. But you're asking a question about scheme, and the 49ers coaches, of course, don't talk about scheme. So we would love to be able to answer your question as to whether they will or will not be throwing more screen passes, but I think we would be fooling you and ourselves if we gave you a straight answer on that. We'll see.
Yeah, it doesn't behoove anybody. No, the real truth of the matter is there's a lot of good questions coming in from you guys, and it's fun to kick it around here on the water cooler, well, my desk. But the reality of it is we'll see it all play it out September 7th in Dallas. We'll know. They'll put it on tape. Everybody will see. We can dissect the screen game. We can dissect Kaepernick to the receivers, the ups and downs, the motivation, the expectations. All these things are really going to play itself out. So it's fun to kick these things around in August 20th of the off season. But we're going to see the real thing very soon. And so it's been an exciting training camp. We have one more practice tonight that's open for the fans here at Levi's Stadium. And I'm just ready for some real regular season football. I know it's fun to watch the preseason, see the young guys, and I think we have a good sense of Jimmy Ward getting some action there, Carlos Hyde as well, some of these new players that we signed in free agency. Like what we're seeing so far, want to get in the end zone, want to get a victory to make everybody feel good and be, calm those nerves or calm that suspicion that the 49ers have lowered their expectations, because I don't see that one bit. Appreciate everybody sending in their questions this week, listening to the podcast. Make sure you check it out on iTunes, 49ers Radio. Just search that in the top right corner. You will find all of our shows from training camp if you want to get caught up on what we've been talking about over the last few weeks. So for one last time, Taylor Price, your senior reporter, This is Andrew Pentis and Tyler Emmerich, the ASU trio, signing off one last time. So thanks again for tuning in.